Well, I'm going to share something that's been stirring around. I've been sharing in Nanuet and then also here, started touching on it, on this subject of being a new creature in Christ. And it really started with Easter Sunday on his resurrection life. And it got me to just thinking more, meditating more about the life of God that's in us and being a new creature in Christ. And sometimes we just kind of go over that and say, oh yeah, I'm a new creature, you know, I'm a brand new person in Christ, I'm changed. But there's so much to that and so much to meditate upon that it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger as to who you've really become. And when we talk about identity and what you identify with, we are bombarded with the world's signals and the world's message constantly. And so if you keep meditating and thinking about that, you'll identify with that. What you hang around, what you listen to, what you think about, that's what you'll end up thinking about and identify with. So if your problems and the things you're dealing with, if you're just constantly thinking about that, instead of who you are and what you've got now because of your relationship with God, then you're going to have a hard time identifying with Him. We've been translated, we've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. I'm in a new kingdom. I have different benefits now. I don't have the benefits of the one I used to serve. I've got new benefits. And you know how we are when we get benefits. We want to, if you're at least a smart person, you're going to read your contract. You're going to read your covenant to see what am I getting? And a lot of us don't. And that's why the scripture says we've got to have our minds renewed, see, to the word of God. Because then you're going to know who he's like. And I'm going to, just so you know, I'm going to end up on a scripture today, which has been really strong and stirring in me, and we'll look at a few scriptures, 2 Corinthians 5:17. But there's one scripture I want to look at today, and I'll just let you know ahead of time. It's Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 10 and 11. And it says, let this mind be in you, right, which was also in Christ. And that mind needs to be in us. And the scripture also, some of the more modern translations say, let this attitude be in you that was in Christ. So we need to have the same mind, the same attitude as he had. Not the attitude of the world. Because, boy, you know, I was up here, we came up here on Friday. I think it was Friday. And we stopped, you know, we just stop and get a couple of snacks. And we stopped at the local Wawa over here. And it was wah-wah. Because we're sitting in the car. I'm sitting in the car. I had snacks, so I didn't go in. But sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But I'm sitting in the car, and these group of young kids, I mean, they were going at it, fighting. I said, I thought, really, it was that noisy, that intense. It was no joke. And I thought somebody was going to pull a gun or a knife. I really did. I mean, there was a lot of shoving and a lot of pushing at 10 in the morning. And I'm thinking, really? At 10, you got nothing better to do? And then somebody comes out and says, well, it's high school graduation today. And I thought. But the point, you know, when I, you know, because I've been just thinking about this scripture, I said, but that's the attitude. It's worldly. It's carnal. It's fighting. It's killing. It's exactly what the devil wants. He has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But God has come to us through Christ to give us a better life. He said, I came to give you life and life more abundant. So I don't have to get caught up in all of this stuff. I don't have to. That's why the scripture says, let this mind be in you. You've got to make a choice to let it. And it's not easy sometimes because we're constantly, that's what I'm saying, we're constantly being confronted with the pressures of this world. So you've got to, and that's the thing. And we're gonna look at that where in that set of scriptures, when it says there, it says in verse, we'll look at it and we'll get to it at some point, but just take a look and look at this, Philippians 2:5. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. So I'm going to set this up a little bit so you know where we're going. But in the New Living Translations, Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 5, it says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Ooh. It says you must have the same attitude. What's your attitude? You know, your attitude is reflective of your thinking. Because your thoughts and your attitude, I would say it this way, your attitude demonstrates or manifests what you think. That's what I saw at Wawa on Friday. That's what I saw. Their attitude was being displayed because that's how they thought. Let's just fight. You looked at me. And I can tell you the persona of some of them, it looked gang. I'm just going to tell you. That's what it looked. Now, that's not right to do because, you know, people can dress a certain way, but boy, it sure looks kind of surly. It just did. And that's not fair either, but I'm just saying, then what happened? It was demonstrated. There were attitudes. So our attitude, what does it say? Your attitude must be like Christ's. Boy. And then the King James says, let this mind be in you. So even though when we became a brand new person in Christ, our spirit was immediately changed. Instant. But I'm a spirit. I'm eternal. So now all of a sudden this death was replaced with his life. And says, I no longer live, but he lives in me. Yeah, but my mind hasn't changed. Now it's being influenced with this life that's in me now. But I don't know the word. I don't know my new covenant. So that's why what's going to change me, the power of God in the word is going to have an impact on my mind and my thoughts. See, so I've got to now let this mind be in me. I've got to let this attitude that I have, I've got to have the same attitude as Christ. But Let's continue. Verse 6, it says, though he was God. Oh, see, this is such a wonderful scripture. He did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. He was God, he was deity, but he gave up divine privileges. He didn't give up deity. He still came to this earth as God in Christ, but he gave up divine privileges. He gave up the privileges of being God, and he came here and operated as what? A man. And now, this is because now here he's showing us now how our attitude ought to be, just like his. Even though he was God, he operated, but if he did not give up divine privileges, then why was he anointed by the Holy Ghost in Acts 10:38? How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost to go about doing good. He wouldn't have needed to be. See? So here, when you look at this, it says here, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. He's willing to give it up. He gave up his right to operate as God. And he said, I'm equal with the Father. And he gave it up. And we know that because he said, the things I do, I don't do on my own. I do according to the Father's will. So he gave up his rights there, didn't he? And we'll look at this. And then verse 7. Instead, see, it says instead. Well, let me back up and let's read it in context. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So, I'm gonna end up there today. It's such a powerful little set of scriptures. But let's open up. You know, when we talk about identity and what we identify with, let's open up and look at 2 Corinthians 5:17, and I'll read it in a few different translations. But the King James says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So that means that what you were before in your heart, your spirit, the real you, is changed. You didn't get a makeover. You're a brand new person now. And the New Living Translation says this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And I like the Living Bible. It says, when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. You know, I tell this story all the time because it's so real to me. It's tangible for me. And that's why I always say it makes a difference who you hang around with. You know, when I went to college you know, when I was going through college, I worked summers and I worked in the construction business, and I was, you know, many years ago, I had started working as an electrician, so I did all kinds of work during the summer. You know, housing, I could rough a house. You know, if you're an electrician, you know what that means. I'd rough it from every room. I did condominiums, we did the meter pans, everything. We'd wire up probably, I remember back then, you know, an apartment, a set of condos down in Rockland County where I was working at that time, there might be 20 apartments, and we'd do all 20 in 5 days. We'd rough them out, do the meter pans, everything. And I wasn't a journeyman. But around them, and then I worked commercial jobs where they were doing, you know, big commercial things. But when you're hanging around construction people, they have a different vocabulary. And I started picking up that vocabulary, and it was a four-letter vocabulary, everything, curse words, I mean everything. Everything I described, it was just cursing all the time. And I didn't think anything of it, and I wasn't saved. So that just was in me. And the day I got saved, I remember, I was going to an Assembly of God church at the time, lovely church, full of the Holy Ghost. They were, I wasn't. I was full of death. And I was going there, and I remember the pastor, he's in heaven now, he looked at me after I went up to meet him, and he said, "Are you saved?" I had no idea what he meant. I said, "No." He said, "You want to be?" I said, "Yes." Because it was a tough time in my life. And I said, "Yes." And I accepted Christ. He said a simple prayer, and I went home. And I loved racing cars, I liked fast cars, and I had a nice sports car. And so I went home that day, and I'm under the car, and I'm doing something, and I jam my hand. And normally, I'd have been cursing. And nothing came out. And I was under the car, and I remember it, because after that, it was like a burn. It was just on fire down here. My spirit's new. And I'm having different things go on inside of me. But instead of cursing, nothing came out. And I put my wrench down and I said, "What happened to me?" I mean, it was that night and day. I mean, just that was it. No cursing. And after that, I mean, I never cursed after that. Just never did. Because I'm a brand new person. I got a new spirit. I got the life of God in me. Now, of course, you know, our minds need to be changed. But that part of me changed instantly that day. It did. And so I know, for me, that was the experience I had. And so for me, you know, being brand new inside, oh yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, there's a few other translations, but you get the point. And then 2 Corinthians 5:21, just a few verses down, in the New Living Translation, it says, "For God made Christ, who never sinned," see, remember what we were reading, we set this up, "he thought it not, let me read that, he said, he thought, he did not think of equality of to be equal with God as something to cling to." So here, he never sinned. He gave up his rights to operate with divine privileges, but he was sinless. And this is really what I like with the New Living. It said, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." And this footnote, when it says sin, he was made to be the offering for sin, for our sin. The footnote on that in the New Living Translation says, "Or he became sin itself." He didn't just take our sin. He became sin. He became the full extent of what sin is and all of the fruit of sin. He became that. So when we go, you know, when you stand before God and he says, "What about this? What about your anger? What about your worry? What about your fretting?" He said, "I experienced that. And I'm living in you. So let this mind be in you." And I like this. This is the Blackwelder translation. It says, "In our behalf, God identified him," meaning Christ, "with everything in the whole realm of sin." That means the whole realm of sin, he experienced it. He became it. So there's nothing that we can ever experience or be involved in that he didn't become and defeat. Because otherwise, how could anyone be saved or forgiven? So the blood covers it all. The blood covered everything because he became sin. Everything. It is powerful. And that blood redeemed us. So that's when he says he entered in once into the holy place in the heavenlies to obtain our eternal redemption with his blood. It's powerful. And that blood saved me and redeemed me. But it didn't change my thinking. The word is going to do that. See? But it is powerful. So, you know, something that you know, when we talk about this earth realm, let me say it this way. Everybody knows this, that this earth was created with what? God spoke everything into existence. So this world, was created with words. And it's upheld by the power of his word. That's Hebrews chapter 11 in the third verse. So this world was created with words, upheld with words, and if we want something, you know, I'm trying to tie this all together because it was just stirring in me. I kind of want to pull this together here, but when we talk about letting this mind be in you that was in Christ, he didn't just speak on his own. He heard from heaven, and he spoke those words that came from another place. It came from eternity, and he spoke those words into this finite world to manifest some things, right? To manifest God's will and purpose in the earth here. That's no different today. When we talk about let this mind be in you that's in Christ, we have to submit. It says, let him be God, right? Let him be God who? In us. We're the body of Christ. So we are connected now. I have a body, right? I have this body. And I'm living in this earth, but I'm connected to heaven. I'm connected to eternity because of my spirit man. And I'm able to hear from heaven. But God doesn't want us to just speak anything. He doesn't want us to just make up words here in the earth. He wants his words to be received and spoken in this earth realm so that they can do what? Produce his will. That's the power of this, that we are operating in two, almost like two realms, right? I'm in this natural realm, and then I'm connected to a spiritual realm because of my spirit. I'm connected to heaven because of my spirit. And I can hear him. He gives direction. He's the head of the church, and he's directing his body here in the earth to do what? His purpose, not mine. That's why when it says, let his will be done, let this mind be in you that was in Christ, I've got to let his mind operate through me. So his will is done. Because what does it say in 1 Timothy 2 when it says we're to pray for all those who are in authority? It says he would have all what? All men to be saved. That's his purpose. That's a purpose. And he wants that. So we can't just be, yes, we all have responsibilities. We may have family, children, grandchildren, whatever responsibilities we have. And we're not to be neglectful of that, but at the same time, he has some purposes that he wants fulfilled here. Number one, we should be raising our families and children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If you have a responsibility as a parent, you need to be raising them with godly ideals and values and principles. That's a purpose. And teaching your children that going through life, it's not just get, but you need to be an example. You need to be operating in the love of God, and you need to be leading them to a place of salvation, right? So he wants to raise our families that way. And then along with that, reaching other people that we're coming in contact with in this earth. So this realm that we operate in here, what I'm trying to share here is that when you look at the realm that God lives in, we will eventually live there. But here's the point. He lives in a realm where there's no time. There's no time. It's eternity. We live in a realm where there's time. But the things that God has promised and given us are in that realm where there's no time. Do you ever think about that? All that comes to us and promised, he, the Eternal One, watches over his word to perform it. And how do I take from him? We walk by faith and not by sight. So faith reaches out into this realm that's timeless, and by words we receive by faith, and it becomes manifested in this realm where there's time. You can see it in Scripture. Turn to Galatians. You can see where you have eternity and you have time. See, these principles are in the Bible, and we sometimes go through life thinking, well, I sure hope God does something. He's not going to do anything unless you release faith-filled words. You can hope all you want. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith moves God. Faith moves the words spoken in faith move this world. Anybody go to Galatians chapter 4? And look at verse 4. Well, let's back up here a little bit. Galatians chapter 4. And starting in verse... let's take a look here. Let's start in verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until what? The time appointed of the father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. What does verse 4 say? But when the fullness of the time was come, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. His Son already existed. He always was. But in a point in time, he was manifested in this earth. And it says, but God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So what are we saying? He always existed in the realm where it was eternal. And God spoke in Genesis. But let me ask, what moved this where God now responded and moved to send his son in the fullness of time? The manifestation of his birth. Words were spoken. Prophecy was given by prophets of old. How did that happen? God responded to it because those men of old heard from heaven and spoke it. And in the fullness of time, that who was eternal came and was manifested as a man. But it happened because men of old were connected, they were anointed of God, and they heard from heaven, and they released God's purpose and plan with words in the earth. They didn't just think it up. It was God's purpose, his heavenly plan, and he responded to the words that came from heaven. He watched over his word to perform it. Does everybody see that? And so when you see that, you begin to say, okay, God, let this mind be in you that was in Christ. He wants you to be submitted to him, hear his purpose. You know, we all say, oh, I sure wish it would be better. What's heaven say about it? Not just my complaining and my words. My words ought to be his thoughts and his words. And so, God, what do you say about this? What does your word say about it? And then what do you say about it? And then I'm going to do what? Release my words into this realm of time. This is why when we see, let's back up here. Go over to Matthew chapter 18 and verse 18 and 19. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 18 and 19. I hope this is helping in somebody, because it's helping me to see something. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 18. And I'm going to read it from the King James, but the more modern translations say it really the way it should be said. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you bind on earth, whatsoever you shall bind on earth, shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth, shall be loosed in heaven." Now, if you read it in, let me look it up here because Passion Translation or the New Living Translation will say it probably, this is 18:18. Let me just look it up here. It says, this is in the Passion Translation. In verse 18, it says, "Receive this truth. Whatever you forbid on earth will be considered to be forbidden in heaven." Some translations say, whatever you forbid on earth must already be forbidden in heaven. That's saying the same thing. Must be considered forbidden in heaven. "And whatever you release on earth," or some say, whatever, you know, it's the Passion says, this is what it says, "whatever you release on earth will be considered to be released in heaven." Or some translations say, whatever is allowed in heaven must already be, or whatever you allow on earth must already be allowed in heaven. Well, what's forbidden in heaven? Sickness, disease, worry, anger, fear. Sin is forbidden in heaven. So we are, if we forbid it, if I forbid sickness on this earth, we've been given authority to release his plan, his word, and to forbid sin and sickness in this earth. We have the authority to forbid it in what? In his name. Let this mind be in you. So what are we saying? When you forbid something, or when you allow something, you are forbidding something based on something that's his purpose in this eternal realm. So let's say it's sickness. Say there's a sickness or disease going on in your body or something, or maybe there's worry or something going on, and it's something you are being affected by in this realm, this earth realm, where there's time. But it's already been forbidden in heaven. And that's in a place where there's no time. It's eternal. It's an eternal truth. I am eternally forgiven. I am eternally healed. How do I bring that truth over from a realm where there's no time? It's an eternal truth. How do I bring that over into this realm where there's time? And it'll be manifested, like it says, in the fullness of time, he manifested his son. Words have to be spoken. I have to forbid it. I've got to stand up and say, I'm a new person in Christ. I'm healed. I'm delivered, and I receive it by faith, even when my body doesn't say so. You think about how long from the time the prophets spoke of Jesus' coming until he was manifested. Hundreds and hundreds of years. In the fullness of time, he was manifested. So get off while I'm not healed in a week. No, I've received the truth. I've received it, and by faith I take it, and I rejoice I have it. And in the fullness of time, it will manifest. Yes, it will. Everybody see that? Yes. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ. You've been translated out of darkness. You've got a new master. You've got a new covenant because I've been washed in the blood. Let's take advantage of it. Yes. Let's walk in it. Let's walk in kingly authority. You are priests and kings unto God. Don't let the devil beat on you. You laugh at him. He's the one that's eternally damned. See, he want to make us think like it's never going to happen. You must have missed it. No, you missed it. So, again, let's, just in a few minutes here, let's read again Philippians 2:5. So we kind of want to land on this. When you start to meditate on this, it gets so big inside you, you have to start looking at other scriptures, and there's only so much time. But I want to... look at this again, Philippians 2:5 in the New Living. It says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges, and he took the humble position of a slave and was born a human being. Now, let me read this in the King James. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. When it says mind, if you look that up, just this particular word in the Greek, it just means to have the same opinion, the same interests, That's an attitude. You know, if you have an opinion, you have an attitude. Now, sometimes we think of attitude as being negative right away, right? Positive or negative. But if you have an opinion, you have an attitude about something, don't you? If I say, what's your attitude about that? You're telling me your opinion. Isn't that true? So let this attitude, let your opinion be his. Not the world. Not you can't have this, can't do this, you won't go anywhere you want. No, he didn't say that. He said you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That's my opinion. That should be my attitude, right? So here's, I'm going to read this little excerpt. This was from a commentary that I look at, just a paragraph, but it's so good. It said, Christ's attitude was what Paul has just described. Because remember, this was Paul's revelation from God. He's writing to the Philippians, let this mind be in you that was in Christ. This is Paul speaking under the influence of the Holy Ghost. This is new truth. This is new revelation. It says, Christ's attitude was what Paul has just described, one of complete selflessness, servanthood, and sacrifice that puts the needs of others before himself. Now, Paul begins to describe specifically how Jesus showed this attitude towards us. Now, I want you to listen to this. This is powerful. Paul stresses how Jesus left unequaled glory. He left unequaled glory in heaven and took the humiliating position of a servant. He left not just glory, unequaled glory. And he put it aside. And he came here as a servant. And it said, in doing so, he obeyed God's plan to the point of giving his own life for the benefit of others. Now, when we talk about when he emptied himself, and it says here, he gave up his divine privileges, and the King James, it says, he emptied himself. Well, this term, emptied himself, what I was saying before, it doesn't mean that he gave up his deity. It means that he voluntarily laid aside the privilege of his limitless existence as God. He laid that aside. His limitless existence as God, he set that aside. See, we don't think about that sometimes. And he did all of that. He had to come here as a man. You know, when you look at John 10:10, when it says, the thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came to give you life and life more abundantly. Read the first few verses, like verse 1. It talks about what a thief and a robber is. If they enter into the door, to the sheepfold, some other way. So Christ had to come here to have a body in order to redeem man who had a body. So he couldn't just say, well, I redeem him. He had to come here legally. So think about this. The devil is a thief. He has no body. He has illegitimate authority here. The mere fact that you have a body, you have authority. And Jesus came and had to set aside his unlimited existence as God, these divine privileges. He still was sinless. He had to be. But he set aside and he didn't operate as God. He operated as a man. Sinless. How? The scripture says he was the second Adam. How did Adam operate? He was sinless. Adam. You know what Adam means in the Greek? Adam. Damut. Da means Adonai. It's a compound word, Adam. Ah means Adonai. It means God. And Dam means Damut. It means blood. Adam means the blood of God. Adam had the blood of God in him. He was made by God. He was sinless till he failed. And Jesus came and operated as the second Adam. He came here sinless. He came here with the blood of God operating in him and flowing through him. But he was a man, just like Adam. So he came here, and what did he do? We now are the body of Christ. I have a body. I don't have the blood of God in me, but I have been cleansed by his blood, and I've been given authority. We are seated in heavenly places. That's what Ephesians said. We've been raised with him and seated with him in heavenly places. Well, we're not physically in heaven, but God sees us sitting with him in heavenly places. What does that mean? We are seated in a place of authority. And we have authority over the devil. He has illegitimate authority. And so, just look, when we talk about how he laid aside, he emptied himself, go over to John 17. I'm going to do this quickly because it's powerful here. John 17, Gospel of John, John 17, and verses 4 and 5. John 17, verses 4 and 5. When it says, he laid aside his heavenly glory, see, and he became and operated as a humble servant. But look at verse 4 and verse 17. It says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Now look at verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee. Why would he have to say that? He gave it up. So now he's saying, now glorify me with the glory that I had with thee before the world was. So he gave up unequaled glory and came here and operated as a man and God. Everybody see that? He gave up his glory to do that. Still was deity. Still was God. Here's another. Let's go to John, chapter John. Chapter 5, excuse me. Chapter 5 in the book of John. And he gave up his position. John 5 and verse 30. John 5 and verse 30. It says, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. So he gave up his position, his right as God. He submitted himself to the Father. So he gave up his position. He gave up his rights, Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28. It says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So he gave up his rights. He came here to do the will of the Father. And here he gave up John. Let's go back to John chapter 5 again and verse 19. This here, he gave up the use of his attributes as God. He operated as a man. Verse 19 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." So, what are we saying in all of this? Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Empty yourself of your own... What are we really saying here? Empty yourself of your own ambitions and desires. Let those ambitions and desires be from heaven. God has... You know, sometimes we're so... When I think about this, you know, when I was younger, I didn't know these things. And so we can become anxious, is a word. Anxious. What am I going to do with my life? Where am I going? What am I doing? And we get anxious about those things. And it can be a young person. It can be even an older person. What am I doing with my life? I can be anxious about things, about directions in my life. If I just get quiet and get his thoughts, his desires, you don't think he said you are his workmanship created in Christ. He has a plan and a purpose for every single person. Let that mind be in you, not your own purposes. So in other words, what does that mean? Just like Christ submitted his will to the Father, not my will, but his, we need to have that same mindset, that same attitude. Not my will, not my desires, but his. Let him think through me. Because sometimes, you know, God is wanting to position people in certain strategic places to do things. And when we don't listen, we're off making our own decisions, going places, doing things. And now he's got to go tap somebody else to go do something. And a lot of times he's wanting you to just be in a certain place to minister to people. It's his will, his purposes, his desires that he wants to do what? His desires, his purposes are from that eternal realm. And he's now communicating them to you by his Spirit who lives in you, so that what's our purpose? I should be just like Jesus. I should be speaking what the Father has shown me or what he has said to me, so that his will can be done in this realm where there's time. In the fullness of time, his will is manifested, right? Is any of this making sense to anybody? Because it makes sense to me. Well, I'll make sense, but it makes it. You know, when you look at the scripture and you start to see just that one verse, "Let this mind be in you," it's not my will; it's his will. But we're in two different. I'm in an earth realm where there's time. You know, at some point in the scriptures, it says this earth is going to be burnt up and changed. And this earth is going to be gotten rid of sin. So it's going to be what? Heaven on earth, where there'll be no time. Eternity will have invaded the earth, right? But he's trying to do that now. He's trying to get our attention and work through his body, so he can come back. Glory to God. I hope you got a little something out of this, because it's been stirring to me. I had some notes, but I didn't get to them, because this was really stirring to me. I'm not kidding. And it's anyways, praise God. I know I went a little longer than normal, but just getting back to that scripture, things that have been promised and paid for and that are eternal truths and are in heaven's covenant with man. They're sitting in a realm that's it's eternal. These are eternal truths. He says, what does he say? He's without variableness. What does James say? He's the father of spirits. He's without shadow of turning. There's no changing with him. What he paid for through Christ, it's done. It's eternal. And it's sealed with the blood of Jesus. How do I get that truth to be manifested here in the earth? How do I take hold of that promise? I can't just like, you know, like I have a contract with, who is it, State Farm or somebody. I can't just pick up the phone and say, I want something, right? I can't get from my contract or my covenant. That's an earthly thing. But how do I get a heavenly truth, a heavenly promise to be manifested here in this realm of time that's finite? You got to speak it. You got to release words. You've got to command it to come into being. And that takes time. So just think about it. Somebody can tell me when Daniel prayed, Minister Joe, didn't that say, when Daniel prayed, he said, what did he say it took? Was it Daniel?
Yes.
How many days? He said, I heard your prayer from the first day that you prayed. And it took time for that prayer to be what? Manifested in this earth realm. In this realm where there's time. So don't get antsy or anxious because you don't see something. Believe that my words spoken moved heaven. And heaven's responding. God said, I watch over my word. So the moment I prayed, it's in motion. And you just keep thanking God. I thank God. I have it. I have it. I have it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you that it's truth and it's light. And the entrance of your word brings light and revelation to us. And the more we feed upon it, and the more we meditate on it, we'll walk in it. And Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. God is good. Heaven, you know, we can't be moved by feelings, and don't let your words be subject to your feelings either. So often we're moved by what we feel and see, and we have to change that. We have to believe his word, believe our covenant, and act accordingly. Let this attitude be in you that was in Christ. You know, he was tempted in all ways that we were. He was tempted by feelings. He was tempted by stuff going on in his mind. But he did what? His father showed him. His father heard him. He was connected. He was God, but he stuck with it, right? Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's, just before we leave, we always do this. We never know who might be here, or who's visiting, who's not visiting, who's needs to make a change in direction. But let's say this simple prayer. If you happen to not know Christ, or you want to recommit your life to Christ, let's say this simple prayer. Father God, I believe you that you sent your Son to this earth in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. I believe he took my sins, and I believe that we were crucified and buried and raised from the dead, as the scripture says, and we were born again, born from death. So, Father, I ask Jesus to come into my heart. I believe he has cleansed me with his blood, make something new of me, and I believe in my heart under righteousness, and I confess with my mouth that I am saved. Now, if you said that simple prayer, you never remember doing that, that just means you have asked Jesus into your heart, you got saved, you're born again, you have eternal life instantly in you. And if you did that and you don't remember doing that, just let us know and we'll give you some free information as to who you have become. Praise God.